You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
If you got your Bible, turn to John chapter 15, if you will. John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible or you didn't bring it with you, right in front of the seat in front of you is a Bible that you can take home with you. That's our gift to you. And you could take that Bible home and you'll look in the bulletin. There's a listening guide that'll tell you the exact page number of the scripture that I'm going to be teaching out of this morning. But we're just going to take just a couple minutes to be able to look at this scripture and to understand what it is that God has done for us and what these fallen heroes have done for us as well. This day of Memorial Day is a special, special day. In 1966, President Lyndon Baines Johnson said that in Waterloo, New York was the birthplace of Memorial Day. That there on May 5th in 1866, they had a service for all of those that had fallen in the Civil War. And then later on, they extended it to those in World War I. And then they expanded it further and further. Until now on Memorial Day, we have that at 3 o'clock, people will begin to stop all around our nation. And they'll have a moment of silence, of reflection, and remembrance. To be able to remember not just those from 1866 that died in the Civil War, but to remember those even as fresh as maybe this week or this month that have died on behalf of our country in military service. It's an amazing thing as we look upon Memorial Day. It's not just yes, we get another day off and we don't have to come in and we get a 3-day weekend. It's a time of saying there are some lives that have been shed, some blood that have been shed, and some lives that have been given. In the Civil War, and I'll give you the exact numbers, I've thought about, well, maybe I should give you the about so-and-so number should have had died, but I think every number is important. In the Civil War, 498,332 people. The World War I, 708 deaths. World War II, 407,316. In Korea, 25,604. In Vietnam, 58,168. In Desert Storm, 382. In Iraq, 4,278. In Afghanistan, 1,141, giving us a total of 1,122,940 people have died since the Civil War. On our behalf, so that we can sit in freedom. Earthly peace will never be obtained, though we should, for diplomacy reasons, go for it, yes, and to let there be meetings of minds and people of different thoughts and policies. But eternal peace can come. We'll always fight as humans, but we don't have to fight with God. And in John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13, two just quick but so important verses. This is one of my favorite chapters of Scripture, John chapter 15. In verse 12, it says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends." A verse that Arthur shared with us just moments ago. "I've commanded you this, love one another as I have loved you." That's a tall statement right there. You and I are to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. Well, wow, what does that mean? That's a huge, huge statement. And if we were to love one another as Christ loved us, then there would be peace on earth, but we don't do that. To love in such a spectacular way that it would mimic how Jesus Christ loves us. That is an amazing, amazing thought. That is an amazing thing that God can do. But what is love? What does it mean to truly love? Well, I've got some kids' quotes on love. This is what they say. "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and says she's handsomer than Tom Cruise." That's pretty good. "Love," Mike, age 10, says this, "on a first date, they just tell each other a bunch of lies to get them interested enough to go on a second date." "Love is when love will find you, even if you're not trying to look for it. I've been hiding from it for years, since I was 5 years old, but the girls still keep finding me," an 8-year-old boy said. That 8-year-old boy, look out for him when he's a 13-year-old boy. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. When you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared that they won't love you anymore, love is when you get surprised because not only do they still love you, but they love you even more. This one had to be a little girl. When you love someone, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. And this one from Bart, age 9, might be Bart Simpson, I'm not sure, but this is what it says. The one way to get a girl to love you is to take her out to eat. Make sure it's something she likes. French fries usually work for me. Well, young single adults, let me get you a note. French fries aren't going to work anymore. After you get about age 9, it's not going to happen anymore. What is love? How did Christ love us? Well, I want to give you two words to think about. First of all, Christ was passionate in his love. He loved us passionately. He endured the cross. Not just a passion of emotional passion or some kind of weird romantic passion. That's not what I'm saying. That passion is the amount of effort you show in going towards a goal. That you're passionate about that gold medal. You're passionate about that relationship. You're passionate about that nation. You're passionate about freedom. You're passionate about salvation from heaven coming to man. Jesus Christ was passionate in his love for us. In 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, that's the big famous one. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And families, that's exactly what your son or daughter, your family member did, is that they laid down their lives for us. And they were passionate in their love for this nation. And they were passionate in the way that they lived that out, and they were passionate in the way that they spilt their blood for that. Jesus Christ was passionate in his love for us. He endured the cross. He died for us as well. He died for us as well. And he died not for a physical freedom, though that is of great importance. He died for a spiritual freedom that is of eternal importance. He not only was passionate, he was purposeful. He can pronounce it, I can't. He's purposeful. His purpose in his death, he died to change the world one person at a time. That the death of Christ on the cross was not just a martyr's death to give us an example. It was a spiritual payment, an eternal payment that we have all sinned against an eternal God. And so we can't get enough works to try to earn it. We need an eternal payment for an eternal sin. And so Jesus Christ was purposeful. He died for a purpose on that cross. He died to give glory to God and to say, I want to give my life on your behalf. Someone had to die for the sin. In Genesis chapter 1, there was an animal slain for the sin of Adam. All through the Old Testament, lambs were slain. Millions of lambs were slain for covering sin. And then in the New Testament, John tells us, behold, the Lamb of God who comes not to cover our sins, but to take it away. There was a purpose to his death. And it wasn't just so we could have another holiday called Easter and Good Friday. It was so we could realize the purpose of his death was to connect us with him. To change the world one person at a time through salvation. That we say, Lord, I can't get to heaven on my own. I can't get enough works on my own. I've sinned. I've done things wrong. And Jesus, I trust in your death, the purpose of that to be the payment for my sin and your passion of taking it to the cross, your purpose in redeeming my life. And our soldiers are passionate and our soldiers are purposeful and they died for a cause and they died for a reason and they died to change the world, if you will, one person at a time. And so we see this verse lived out. That you would love one another as I have loved you. That our soldiers are symbolic of the death of Christ in our lives to then be able to say, now if they die for our freedom on earth, then who died for my freedom in heaven? Jesus, you died for my freedom of heaven. And I receive that as a gift from you. See, the love that a soldier has for a family member and a family member for a soldier is great and vast. And we can look at it and see and know that it's just a thimble of the love that God has for us. Arthur shared about his son, Brian. And I have here literally a piece of gold that when Arthur gave this to me, Arthur, you don't know this, but I walked it down to our church office and I said, put this in the safe because I do not want to lose this. This is the last letter that the Craigs received from their son. They received it 7 days after his death, or 12 days after his death. 12 days after his death, and it was written 7 days before his death. And it says this: "Dear Dad," they had been on a phone call, and Arthur had asked his son, "How's your relationship with Christ?" And then the call got fuzzy and got cut off. And then this letter came. "Dear Dad, you have asked about my walk with Christ on the phone. I want to write you and let you know how things are going. I just started the book you sent, Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. It seems as though every book that you send is an answer to my prayers. God has really blessed me with both a great father and mother. I am so fortunate to have two people that I can always come to for advice. Thank you. It is strange that all of my experiences in this life, that here in Afghanistan, I have really started to grow spiritually. The Bible study that I was having with a group of guys before was an answered prayer. And when I come home, I will start to look for a weekly Bible study, and I realize how important it is. I also realize how important prayer is, and the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire was great. I have my good days and my bad days. I guess it is to be expected. I will do so good for a couple days and then falter. And I know that as I continue to grow in the Lord, that my good days will outnumber my bad. I know that you pray for me, and for that I thank you. Just know that God is answering your prayers concerning me. I never thought I could grow in my relationship with God around the people that I work with. I read in one of the books, as a Christian, we know that there's a hole. We just don't know how deep it goes, and I want to know how deep it goes. I don't know if I said that right, but you know what I mean. My life is changing. This is what I want you to hear. My life is changing, and I like it. I think that the guys I work with know that I'm different, and I just pray that I make a difference in their lives. I pray that I'm a good example. Pray for me that I may be a good example of a man of Christ. Pray that I may make the right decisions and say the right things and act the way a Christian should. I should as a Christian. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for being great parents that you are. Thank you for all that you do for me. Thank you for being a role model. Thank you for being not only parents, but great friends. I love you and Mom so much. Love, Brian." To see that the love of Christ was affecting Brian's life in such a way gives us inspiration. And the Craigs have told me that people have given their hearts back to the Lord after reading this letter. They've given their hearts to the Lord for the first time in reading this letter. It's putting marriages back together because there's something about us seeing the love of God being lived out in someone's life before they step into eternity, just close before they step out in eternity. And I submit to you, that's what we're reading in the red letters of Jesus right here. Him saying, "I know I'm going to the cross. And as I go to the cross, I want you to know to love each other as I have loved you, because greater has no love than this, than a man who lays down his life for his friends. Great love is shown through sacrifice." Great love is shown by sacrifice. The way that we see love lived out is through sacrifice. As a parent, you sacrifice each day because you love that child. As a teacher, you sacrifice each day because you love this profession as teacher, to sacrifice and to love these kids. As a husband or a wife, we sacrifice because we love our spouse and we love the institution of marriage and what it stands for. As friends, we sacrifice because we love friendships and we realize we can't live alone. As Americans, we sacrifice. As citizens, we sacrifice. In hurricanes, we sacrifice for our neighbors. And as soldiers, no greater love than this, than a man who lays down his life for his friends. And because of the love of freedom and the love of this great nation and the love of us, there's sacrifice. And so we read letters like this and we hear stories, as we know each of you could tell, about the greatness of your family member. And they inspire us to live a life of sacrifice, because a life that costs you nothing, I submit, is worth not living. An unexamined life and a life that costs you nothing is not worth living, because it is through our sacrifice that God does things. We have outside in our lobby the Gold Star Mothers, a quilt that they've put together of all the gentlemen that have died in our, I think in our area, in our state, that have died there. I think it's our area. I'm sorry if I'm incorrect on that. And so the sacrifice of a Gold Star mother to pay the biggest price of motherhood. But Jesus did something very interesting. Jesus died for his friends and his enemies. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus Christ died for his friends. And oh my, what a great thing that is. Romans 5, chapter 5, 6 and 8, verses 6 through 8 says, see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That's enemies of God. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man someone might possibly die for. But God demonstrates his own love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Jesus Christ takes it to a whole new level. To lay down our lives for friends is a statement enough. But to lay down your life for an enemy is a statement beyond comprehension. That's agape love, it says in the Greek. God's love. And Jesus Christ laid down his life for friends and for enemies. And do you know who an enemy of God was? Me. You. Those who have sinned, and we all have. That sounds harsh. That sounds, well, No, there's darkness, and there's light, and there's broad, and there's narrow, and there's dead, and there's alive. And Jesus Christ hung on the cross as his enemies put him there. As the crown of thorns was put by his enemies, and then the soldier at the cross that nailed him to it said, surely this must have been the Son of God. And he died for that soldier. Paul, all throughout scriptures, we're studying 2 Thessalonians, who wrote 2 Thessalonians. Paul was an enemy of God. He killed Christians. And he ended up writing 13 books of the New Testament because Jesus Christ changed his life. He calls himself the chief of sinners. Jesus Christ died, not just for his friends, but for also his enemies, so that, here's where we come down, we could experience eternal peace. Eternal peace is possible. Earthly peace is not. Eternal peace is possible. Earthly peace is not. Now, just as I began the message, we should seek that in diplomacy. We should seek that in battle. But we should know that heaven is not here yet. Earth is not heaven. Men and women don't get along. There's not always peace in our home. How could there always be peace in our world? So we seek eternal peace, knowing in diplomacy and in battle we should seek earthly peace, but knowing that eternal peace, Jesus has said, it is finished, it is done, it is not up for debate. Do you know that since the beginning of recorded history, there has been less than 8% of time that there has been peace? There's been an excess of 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken. In the last three centuries, there's been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. During this period there of recorded history, there's been 14,351 wars, large and small, in which 3.6 billion people have been killed. The value of property destroyed would pay for a gold belt around the world, 97.2 miles wide, 33 feet thick. Think of that gold belt. And Jesus Christ came on a cross. And he says, I give you peace. And in John chapter 14, he said, my peace I leave with you. Not in peace as the world gives, because we're never going to find complete peace in the world. But I give you peace as I give. Do not let your hearts be troubled, O families. Do not let your hearts be afraid. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his friends and his enemies, so that we could trust in the peace in Philippians, it says, that passes all understanding. And that peace would be our eternal peace. What an amazing thing. So we come today and we celebrate and we honor those who have valiantly fought for peace. Yes, may we keep fighting for peace. And at the same time, our hearts know that heaven is not on earth. And we still pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a difference. And if you're here today and you've never experienced the eternal peace of Jesus Christ, in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. and you're going to be able to come and to pray and ask Jesus to be your peace. But all of us are here, and we've experienced the physical peace here in America, and we're grateful for it. Jesus, his love was passionate and purposeful. Our soldiers the same. Jesus, his love was able to break the bounds of eternity. And now he stands before you today and says yes to peace in your heart.